Hello, friends. Mark Elfstrand here. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today on Let's Talk. My next guest is Sam Rohr. Sam is the president of the American Pastors Network. And we're going to find out all about that here in the next few minutes and also discuss some interesting topics such as immigration, which gets to be controversial even within the group of the Christian faith. First of all, Sam, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
Mark, always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, American Pastors Network. How long has this been going?
Actually, 4 years as the American Pastors Network, and at the end of this month. So not long.
Not long. Did you start it?
I have, and I did, and God has tremendously blessed the outreach to pastors and those in the pew and in the forthtelling and the foretelling of biblical truth, which is really in a biblical worldview, which is really what the American Pastors Network is really all about.
So you have state chapters, I understand, across the country?
We do. We have chapters in 10 states so far. Our goal is for all 50 states of having dynamic chapters of Bible-believing pastors who have the courage to preach the truth. And even internationally, we're having many, many requests from other countries to come and teach them biblical principles about how to live, how to interact as the church with the civil government, and really the same things that are in need here in our country are what other countries are looking for. So God has laid out a big roadway ahead of us for us.
So do you have an organization in Illinois yet?
No state chapter in Illinois, but it is on our list, and God willing, it will be in the next year or two. There will be one in Illinois.
Okay, and maybe Indiana, Wisconsin, they border us as well. Any interest in those states yet?
We do indeed. Michigan was just in the last couple of months. That's not too far off from you. So Michigan has a chapter. Ohio will be coming on. And then we hope to be, Lord willing, there, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
Okay. And how many pastors right now are part of this in general? Do we have a rough number?
In a general sense, between all of the chapters together, in the neighborhood of about 7,500 to 8,000.
Okay. Pretty significant group right now then.
It is increasing, and we're very glad for those who are standing up. And you know, our goal, Mark, is to reach the remnant pastor. What I mean by that are the pastors who actually believe in the authority of Scripture, because less than 30% in the pulpits believe in the authority of Scripture, believe it or not. But those who believe in the authority of Scripture, salvation by faith in Christ alone, which is God's entry requirement into heaven, and then have the courage to preach it. That fear factor takes many out of the pulpit and puts them into a silent position. We are looking for those who have the courage to actually preach the Word of God and fear God more than man.
Okay, but the preaching the gospel can be one thing. It sounds like, to some degree, you like to move into other areas of the way that civilization should be lived out, and specifically in this country.
Well, Mark, you're exactly correct, because that's what the Bible is all about. Now, people forget sometimes that when we are to be, you know, the Great Commission was not just to bring salvation. The Great Commission was to start with salvation and to train disciples. Disciples' intention is to be salt and light. To do what? To impact the culture, wherever may they be found, impact the culture for Christ, bringing biblical values, biblical principles into the marketplace of ideas where we live, in the home, certainly, in church, certainly, but in civil government, very specifically, and in the culture, media, wherever it may be, business locations. That is what God's intent is for all of those who know Him, and that, by and large, Mark, is where I think the pulpits, by and large, have been silent, and the church right now is weak in that it follows the culture rather than leading the culture.
Sam, how do you run the delicate balance of staying focused on the gospel and not getting lost in too many cultural issues, which can easily dominate an agenda and move us away from the gospel?
Well, that's a very good question. And the reason how we do that is that the focus must be on the authority of Scripture and leading people to Jesus Christ, which is God's plan of redemption fulfilled. That is why Christ came. That has been the battle from the beginning between good and evil, between devil and God. That is what we're here for. It's the souls of men. And so, therefore, the plan of redemption and the gospel is absolutely front and center. But God did not come and send His Son so that we have fire insurance from hell. He sent Jesus Christ so that lives could be redeemed and actually live differently, so that the world around us sees what a Christian is and comes and asks us for the reason and the hope that is within us. What's different about you? That is when Christianity, that's how Christianity permeated the world in the early days, and that's what it needs to be doing once again in our nation and around the world today.
Okay, well, let's take one of the hot-button issues then. Let's talk about immigration here a little bit. We all know about the, well, at some point the president said it wasn't a ban, and now everybody does refer to it as a ban, and he refers to it as a ban periodically. But bottom line, those who are traveling from six different countries have to have a claim of a bona fide relationship with some kind of a person here in this country for them to be able to make the transition here. Are we being too tough? Are we not being loving enough for these people who want to come here?
We are not being unloving by any means because, number one, we have no obligation as a nation to invite in anybody who wants to come. A lot of people don't know that the prevailing law goes all the way back to 1952, the Immigration and Naturalization Act that was put in place by Congress following the engagement with World War I and II. And literally, that language that's in place there was actually done to prevent immigration to this country by people who, I'm actually looking at some of the language, who immigrants, denying immigrants, who were unlawful, immoral, diseased in any way, politically radical, and instead were accepting and wanting to accept those who would assimilate into our republic and embrace the values of our representative republic. That's the way the law has always been. So for people to stand up now and say, oh, how terrible it is that anybody even thinks that we should not open the door up literally to anybody is absolutely denying a historical fact, but it's also denying biblical reality and the mandate of what the purpose of government is all about. And if I can say this, the president has an obligation under his constitutional oath, Mark, when he said that he would pledge to the American people that he would protect its citizens against enemies, both foreign and domestic. The purpose of government, biblically and constitutionally, is to enact justice and to protect its law-abiding citizens from those who would be non-law-abiding. That is literally what the president is doing, is exactly what the Bible says he should do and exactly what the constitutional oath requires him to do, yet many within the church seem to disregard the reality of those facts.
For those just tuning in, Sam Rohr is my guest. Sam is the president of the American Pastors Network, and you can find out more about them at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Okay, so how does a pastor, create this important balance of wanting to give credence to what our government should be doing, but by the same token, there's just a lot of fear that gets us set up within a lot of Muslim communities that they're not welcome here, or perhaps that Americans are growing so fearful of them, and the church can easily get drawn into that as well. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, there is, again, Scripture speaks to the balance of this. Let me take you to one example. When I say the pastors need to preach the whole counsel of God, boldly doing so, and what I believe, and what we say the Bible speaks to all issues of life, it speaks to the matter of immigration very clearly. Problem is, many in the pulpits of America who say they know Scripture wrongly cite many verses, inappropriately applying it to oppose what the president is doing. Let me give you this an example. Many will say that our policy on immigration should follow the example of the Good Samaritan, and that we are to open our arms to everybody because everybody is our neighbor, the Good Samaritan. And they pull out that passage. Well, unfortunately, that has nothing to do with immigration at all. That has everything to do with if we see someone by the road, if we have a neighbor who needs help, we help them. It has nothing to do with immigration. They will also cite passage from Ezekiel 19:34, where God told Israel when they went into the land that they were to open up their arms and they were to bring in or help those become a part of the culture of those strangers who were there in the land. And they will cite that verse and say, see, immigration policy must open up your arms, bring in the stranger, and then treat them just like you would part of the family. Problem is, there are different words for strangers in the Old Testament. That one that they cite is a Hebrew word, ger, G-E-R, and it means a person who wants to assimilate. In other words, somebody who wants to come in and say, I want to worship the God Jehovah. I want to be a part of the laws of Israel. I submit myself to the culture, the laws of this nation. That's one. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7, God says through Isaiah to Israel, because you did not follow my commands, you let in the stranger. The stranger now burns your cities with fire. They ravage your people. Sounds like terrorists of the day, right? Stranger is a different word. That stranger means enemy, somebody who will not assimilate into your culture by ideology. Islam is prohibited. Muslims, therefore, are prohibited, are prohibited by the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad never to assimilate into any other culture. They, by Sharia law, cannot operate within a U.S. Constitution. That's why when the terrorists say we're going to destroy Israel and the United States, they are doing so not because they're terrorists, but because they understand and follow the dictates of the Quran and the Hadith and doing exactly what Islam has done ever since the beginning. So when government says we got a problem, or when the president says we've got a problem with certain individuals from Muslim countries, he is, in fact, absolutely correct, because Islamic ideology says we cannot submit to a man-made document, constitution. We must make people submit, because that's what Islam means. And therefore, it's a whole different ballgame, and it is not at all the stranger of Leviticus. It is a stranger by ideology of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7, who says, I want to come and destroy your country because I will never assimilate under your God. It's a whole different matter, and we need to separate the neighbor next door from governmental policy that is there to keep us and to protect the law-abiding citizens. That's all from the Bible. That's what pastors need to be teaching.
Yeah, I understand. Here's the thing. I've got friends who work in Muslim countries. Some are missionaries. I've known several people who have done that. And one of the things that has developed out of that is they have some magnificent relationships, and it's opened the door for discussion and for the availability of the gospel to be preached. And so I understand on the immigration policy side of things, I'm still trying to come back and find how we reconcile in the faith being an open door for Muslims who live here to interact and see the gospel lived out in our lives as believers as well.
Well, this is the one thing, good thing to understand, is that God is bringing thousands and tens of thousands of Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's true.
So from the gospel, do we want the gospel to reach the heart of any unbeliever, whether they are Muslim or communist or atheist or what? The answer is absolutely yes. That's the good news of the gospel. If we have a neighbor next door who is a Muslim or an atheist or anyone else who is an adulterer, whatever you want to say, any sin, what is our obligation as a Christian? It's to reach out to them. It is to love them. It is to share and display the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of eternal life, which they do not have, we know, and cannot have without Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do. But there's a distinction between what the church is to do in the communicating of the gospel, what the individuals are to do with our neighbor next door, and what policy of government must do relative to the law in doing what they must do to limit entrance into a country, those, as God told in Isaiah, they did not do. They did not limit those who purposely were enemies of faith. Now, for instance, if any person that were come in were to have and be requested to put their hand on the Bible and to swear according to the Bible that it would uphold the laws of our Constitution and our nation, that probably would go a long way to separating, because a practicing Muslim will never put their hand on the Bible and swear. They'll put their hand on the Quran, but that's different. They will put the Quran says to subdue where you're going to go. They put your hand on the Bible, now you get a different matter. There are a number of ways to go and treat this, but again, different distinctions of jurisdiction. My responsibility individually, love, demonstrate the love of Christ. The church, do the same thing, communicate, missionaries, communicate that truth, Absolutely. But government under immigration policy is a different matter.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're out of time, but if people want more information, Sam, about what you do, I guess the website's the best place to go. Is that right?
It is indeed. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Okay. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Hey, thanks for the conversation, and perhaps we'll chat again in the future.
Hope so. Thank you, Mark. God bless you.
Appreciate your time. We'll take a time out. More to come in a moment.